Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Whether it's got two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. All right, let's get right into it. Kyle Busch overcame a race record 11 cautions for his 46th career NASCAR Truck Series race last night, victory last night, dashing the hopes of all the full-time drivers that needed wins to claim a spot debut in the chase for the championship. As a matter of fact, I like to comment on that. It really annoyed me, actually, one. Kyle Busch, he owns a team. He could do whatever he wants. But there's guys out there that are fighting for their chance to actually, compete in the chase. And by having Kyle Busch in that race, it just basically takes away that and it becomes a point. So I was trying to do the math and figure out whether if that was helping one of his teammates or not, and there really wasn't anything there. It's just, I think, another sign that Kyle Busch is just so greedy that he needs to continue racing in all levels, trying to do the sweep again. How many victories can the guy have? The Sprint Cup Stars' second career circuit win of the season and fifth truck win at Chicago Speedway meant that Daniel Hemric and Timothy Peters earned the final two spots in the eight-driver playoff field based on points. Busch led 95-150 laps on the mile-and-a-half oval for his 167th win in NASCAR's top three circuits. Hemric finished second, followed by Cameron Haley and Christopher Bell. The race began with six of the eight chase spots already determined. Hunter Nemechek was the last to clinch when he tangled with Cole Custer in the grass before claiming a win in Canada. Speaking of Custer, Custer will drive for Stuart Haas Racing's new entry in the Xfinity Series next year. The move was not a surprise. Custer, the son of Stuart Haas Racing executive vice president Joe Custer, a former off-road racer and longtime employee and team co-owner Gene Haas, who Haas Animation sponsors the truck. Custer will turn 19 in January. It's his ninth Camping World Truck Series. He finished ninth in the series standings. He has two wins in the series last year and nearly won the race in Canada at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, where he led most of the laps before a controversial move by John Hunter Nemechek resulted in both of them crashing and Nemechek winning. And then Custer tackled Nemechek afterwards. I think that is actually what sealed the deal for Tony. It's just showing his level of aggression and basically wasn't going to let anybody push him around. SHR decided to start an Xfinity Series team in the transition from Chevrolet to Ford. It will use the Xfinity team to develop crew members as well as potential drivers. And don't underestimate the crew members with what you saw what happened with Kevin Harvick this season. It was yet another Denny Hamlin runaway for Joe Gibbs Racing on Saturday night, which turned out to be an anticlimactic into the NASCAR regular season. The fireworks came off the track at Richmond International Raceway where Tony Stewart intentionally wrecked Ryan Newman before Newman angrily laid into his boss. As a matter of fact, we have the audio on that for you.
Well, I'm fine. I mean, I think it was pretty obvious watching the video. I don't even have to watch the 14 cut across my nose in a turn one, and I got into him after that, but he had already chopped into me and messed up my line, and I clipped him a little bit coming off the two, but then he just cut across my nose going down the back straightaway there, and I guess he thought he was in the sprint car again. Didn't know how to control his anger, so we'll fight, keep fighting like we always do. It's unfortunate. Not the end that we wanted to with the Caterpillar Chevrolet. Got to thank Granger and Wicks and Sprint and everybody else that helps put us on. But just disappointing that you got somebody old like that's retired and should be retired the way he drives. It's just ridiculous.
And you were racing him pretty aggressively for ninth place in the turns before that. Do you think he had any reason to be ticked off at you?
I only hit him in turn one when he cut across my nose, so I don't think there was any reason other than him just being bipolar and having anger issues. So, well, I mean, you can look up, you can Google Tony Stewart. You'll see all kinds of things he's done. Look it up on YouTube, everything else. Quite the guy.
Wow. Quite the guy. I don't know what, you know, I don't really even know where to start with that. I was watching the race and watched that interview live. Couldn't believe it happened. Of course, you know, they kissed and made up later. The real indictment for me there is Newman and Stewart have been friends for a very, very long time. And to say things like that it meant that, you know, maybe there's a little bit of inside information. We're going to continue to dig on that one. We won't get to the end of that. But that verbal beatdown came with just 37 laps left before Hamlin finished off, of course, his third career Sprint Cup win at his home track, given JGR's third consecutive victory at the track and ninth in the last 15 races. But we were also able to catch up this week with Darrell Waltrip, and here's that interview. We got a special treat for you today. Joining us now is Darrell Waltrip, Fox Sports analyst, three-time NASCAR champ, three-time runner-up. How you doing this morning, Darrell?
Man, I'm doing great down here in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, just selling some M&Ms. It's the 75th anniversary of M&Ms. Kyle Busch goes into the chase this weekend as the defending champion. We're just having a big old party.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And so what are your thoughts on the 2016 race for the chase?
You know, when they went to the elimination process like we have now, it changed everything. If you win a race in the first three, you move to the next round, and that's what you'd like to be able to do. You'd like to win Chicago this weekend, then you know you're automatically going to be in the next round. But if you don't win, you've also got to not have one of those disastrous races where it probably would eliminate you from the chase. So we run three races, we eliminate three guys. We three races, eliminate three guys. We get the homestead. We got four guys, winner take all, and Lord only knows who that might be. I hope it's Kyle Busch, but we don't know that.
Awesome. So how much does momentum play? I mean, with Hamlin winning, Truex has been extremely strong down the stretch. Does momentum play a good factor in getting you deep into the playoffs, and what kind of effect does it have actually on your chances for winning the chase?
Yeah, well, I think most of my friends and the people in the sport feel like it the Gibbs Toyotas, those four cars plus Martin Truex Jr., that's five Toyotas, that have been extremely strong all year long. Like you said, Hamlin just coming off that win Saturday night. Truex won down at Darlington. It's just like those cars are hard to beat. They run really good on the mile-and-a-half tracks. We got 5 mile-and-a-half tracks in the chase. So those are the five guys that are odds-on favorite. I can't tell you which one it might be. I know Kyle is hungry. He's hungry to eat some more M&Ms in Victory Circle at Homestead.
Absolutely.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, and of course, you know, Toyota's won almost half of the races heading up to the chase. It'd be pretty powerful. What are your thoughts on, I mean, Stuart Haas has really shown some strength as well. Hendrick's been kind of struggling. And Penske was actually been fairly quiet, and yet, you know, Brad Keselowski's right there with four victories. What are your thoughts, in regards to Hendrick's, Penske, or Haas?
Well, it's no secret. I've talked to Rick Hendrick a lot, and his teams are not up to where he would like for them to be. They haven't had the dominance that they're accustomed to. They don't have the wins they're accustomed to. And I know they've been working their butts off trying to get better. But you got to remember something. You got Chase Elliott that came over there. He's a rookie. And so how much can you bring to the table as a rookie? Then Dale Jr. gets sick and can't drive the car, and they got substitute drivers going in and out of that car. It's just been one thing after another for them. Johnson, even though he has wins, he just hadn't had the dominance that we're accustomed to seeing. But here's the thing about that 48 team that I've seen through the years. When we get into these final 10 races, it seems like these are Jimmy Johnson's best 10 racetracks. So I would never count him out. Kevin Harvick, I would never count him out because he's been there every year for the last couple of 3 years. You got to remember the Toyotas and how strong they've been. So, and here's the other thing. It's kind of some wild cards in there. You take these young kids.
Yep.
You got Chris Buescher, who won up at Pocono, and you got Chase Elliott driving the 24, and you got Kyle Larson in that 42 who's won a race, and then you just got Austin Dillon in the three car. So we got four guys that haven't been in the chase before that would like to upset the older guys that have. So it's an interesting chase this year. I think it's going to be one of the best.
Well, do you think that the youth, I mean, you mentioned Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, I mean, Kyle Larson, Does youth play into your hands, you know, where maybe because you're too young to know just how significant this is and you just kind of keep going? Or does it actually work against you because maybe the nerves kind of get after you?
Well, I always like to say with rookies, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, they'll push it further than maybe a veteran who's a little more conservative and kind of looks at the big picture. I think the Chase 10 races is a big picture event. I know you want to win and move to the next round, but you also don't want to knock yourself out trying to win. So I like these young drivers. They've shown a lot of poise. They're wise beyond their years. They're with great teams. They could be the spoiler in this whole thing. But when it comes to winning a championship and getting to the end and getting a homestead, I'm going to go with experience. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick and Jimmy Johnson and Brad Keselowski. They've been there. They've done it. They know what it takes. I like experience versus youth in this case.
Yeah, there's a lot of big names there. You mentioned Dale Jr. You know, not going to be back this season. What's it going to take, you know, to kind of get back into the fold in 2017 for him?
Well, I think we saw with Jeff Gordon. You know, Jeff retired last year, and he didn't intend to drive anymore. He was done. And then Dale got, you know, had the concussion, and Rick had to go to the bullpen. And Jeff was sitting there eating M&Ms and drinking a Coke, probably. And they said, you're up. Get in the car and go drive. And it only took him it only takes a race or two to get back in the swing of things. Conditioning, these guys all stay in pretty good shape. Muscle memory, it all comes back to you. The tracks don't change. The cars change a little bit, but nothing you can't adjust to. So I don't think it'll affect Dale Jr. You're going to go to Daytona in February. He loves Daytona. It's his favorite racetrack. If he's well and he feels good and he's focused and he gets back in the car, he'll be a contender right off.
Well, I'm not going to ask you who's going to win the chase, but I will ask you who you think the final four are going to be.
Well, I think it'll be Kyle Busch. I think it'll be Harvick. I think it'll be Keselowski, and I think it'll be Jimmy Johnson.
Wow! You don't have Truex or Hamlin making it to the Final Four, and I mean, they had the closest finish to start off the season at Daytona.
Yeah, I agree. And Hamlin has had he's had a pretty good run here. He won Daytona, and then they struggled. Mike Wheeler's new crew chief, and they just didn't seem to have the chemistry working. But now they do. I wouldn't count him out by any means. And it's unpredictable. You could pick any four of the big 10 or 12 guys that are out there. You could pick any four of them, and you'd be as close as I am.
Awesome. That was Darrell Waltrip, three-time NASCAR champion, three-time runner-up. What a great guy. It was great for an opportunity to catch up with him. We got a whole lot more coming up here on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
This is Darrell Waltrip, three-time NASCAR champion, and you're listening to David Swope on the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Ron Capps and the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger RT opened the six-race NHRA countdown to the championship near Charlotte as the number one seed with a 30-point lead. It won't matter that Capps finished 18 regular season races in the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series with a 202-point lead over the field with a category best five titles, eight final rounds, and four number one qualifying positions that tied him with Jack Beckman for the most this year. The year-long season that traverses the country, is down to 6 races, a scheduled 24 qualifying session, and as many as 24 rounds of elimination. The question for the veteran driver living near San Diego will face the most during the 10th annual countdown is about not having won a season champion despite being runner-up 4 times and the most ever in the sport. Caps has finished 2nd in the final standings in his few as 2 points in the countdown era in 2012, the slimmest margin ever of 8 before the playoff system was instituted. Ron Capps, Dale Worsham, Matt Hagen, Courtney Force, and Jack Beckman are your top 5 going into that. But you want to make sure you want to check out some local drag racing. Almost seems appropriate with the Dodge Charger RT that next Saturday, gates open 9 a.m. out at ABQ Dragway. You got Mopar versus the World. Also going to have the Real Outlaw Door Slammers and a big dollar runoff for the Semi-Pro Pro, and as well as on Sunday, the September Showdown is going. That's September 25th. Gates open at 9 a.m. Whenever you talk about drag racing, of course, you got to talk about Yearwood Performance. Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been getting it done, giving the edge you need on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it. And joining us right now in the studio is Yearwood's own Jim Costa. How are you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm doing good, Dave. And you?
I'm doing okay. So you kind of put some drag racing on the sidelines, it seems, this summer. Been doing a whole heck of a lot of car shows. Tell me a little bit about what you got going on this weekend.
Well, this weekend we're doing the, what do they call it? The Cirque.
The Concours du Soleil.
Yes, right. The complicated named car show this weekend down in the valley.
Yeah, it's just the North Valley concourse. I mean, that's
right,
basically
exactly
what I call it. Everybody knows it's off of Guadalupe Trail. But this year they're going to kind of focus on the car as art, which I think is really awesome. And, of course, you're going to have your 60 Bel Air in there. Talk a little bit about the Bel Air and heading out to the show this weekend.
It's pretty cool. I got it running a couple months ago. It had sat on the sidelines for 2 years because we were playing race car. So now we're playing this year. We decided to stop playing race car for a while and play street cars. So we got it running, put a new MSD fuel injection kit on it, and it's pretty cool. It's a 1960 Bel Air, one of 636 made, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. It's got an LS engine in it with a 700 R4, you know, transmission. Of course, Hughes 2500 stall converter. You know, it's a neat combination. Just get in it and drive, and it's a lot of fun. Last weekend we had it out at the Sunset Grill charity car show, trying to raise money for hospice. This weekend we got another charity car show with down in the valley. I think it's open Sunday from 12 to 4 this weekend, and I think it's $20 a head to get in for charity.
Oh yeah, and it's quite a show. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with, you know, a dinner, you know, Friday night and a big, you know, black tie, whatever.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, Sunday is the best part. But before we come back to Concours du Soleil, let's talk a little bit about the Sunset Grill show.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
that was
cool. What a show! I mean, there was $5 million in the
estimated $5 million in the garage. We were talking earlier, you know, it's like, oh, hey, look at that 918 Spider. Oh,
yeah.
Holy crap, that's a hybrid car. Wow, that's, you know, nice car. Oh, let me trip over this Ferrari so I can go look at the McLarens. It was, you know, and God forbid, don't forget the GTs.
Right.
Plural. And was also neat, got to meet the actual designer of the GT.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was there. So, interesting guy. You know, I could see definitely an artist.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and then so the perfect segue. Jeez, I mean, I got you on enough. I'm going to just turn the mic over and let you run the show now. But
no.
Now, you know, I mean, automobile is art. I mean, we've definitely have enjoyed the automobile. I mean, you have taken and really turned it into an art because you combine some modern. I mean, putting an LS motor in the car in the Bel Air is a perfect example of taking, you know, a modern parts and fusing them and still staying true. You know, you don't have to, like, you know, like in the old days, we had to, like, cut whole pieces out in order to get parts to fit.
It's so easy nowadays. I mean, you can't even see the wiring on my car.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a factory LS engine. You know, it's obviously been rebuilt, different cam, et cetera, but I call it stupid clean because I wanted it that way. I'm not a fan of seeing giant wiring harnesses, and you can do that with the factory harnesses.
Right.
I mean, there's kits out there that are actually pretty easy, plug and play.
Right.
But the setup from MSD on an LS or even a Coyote, and now they're doing it for the Chryslers too, so we can do Hemis, new Hemis in cars. The boxes, the control units are just really wicked.
Wow. And all of this stuff is just available at either one of your stores.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Some of the stuff, like the that's kind of what we do.
Well, I didn't mean to be ignorant, but that still blows me away, because I mean all of this this insight and you know expertise at any location.
I call it that been there, done that.
Yeah. It's funny because I was overhearing a conversation the other day, you want to go to 1,000 or 1,500, horsepower,
right?
You know, and it's like, well, you can set it up, you know, to where you can build up to that, and then of course the we'll put the hand over the phone and go, this guy's an idiot, you know. I mean, he's not gonna be able to handle 1,500 horsepower. Let's see if he can handle 1,000 first. But they want to throw money at things, funny. Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, $25,000, no problem, you know. And I'm thinking, well, go over to your winning, it's gonna be half that, you know. And you're gonna get the expertise, you're gonna do it right, and if you can't transfer the power anyway, who the hell cares? So right. I mean, it's funny.
So yeah, we've really been enjoying playing with the streetcars this year, and we've got more projects in line. We're doing a 63 Ford pickup. I'm back on that project now. Actually, just picked up a 67 Chevelle.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right,
I saw that. And actually, it was funny because when I saw that, when I was thinking, hey, you know, there's a lot of lineage of Chevrolet there. I mean, I started noticing.
But coincidentally,
you got a Ford pickup. So
in the shop, we've got four Chevys and two Fords right now, and then I drive my Chrysler
and a Jeep.
Product every
so,
day.
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
I'm diverse. I'm a car guy. I don't care. Wheels and skirts.
Equal opportunity provider.
Absolutely. Yes. Like I said, I don't. As long as it's got wheels, I don't care.
So what's been going on over at Yearwood?
We got some new personnel, which is always fun because that brings in a new insight. You know, I've got actually a retired airplane engineer working for us now, so he's from Eclipse, and Dennis he's got tons of knowledge, and he's just trying to learn the business now. But it's really neat to get some of that. I've got another ASC certified mechanic working for us again, and. Because Ryan finally moved on, you know, after 8 years. So it's kind of
after eight years. That's funny.
You know, so he wanted to go do something different. So, that's very cool. You know, I'm happy for him. But so we've been doing that and trying to figure out what next. I think the winter's coming, then that's when we do our internal projects.
Right.
So I think this winter we're going to be expanding into even more AN fittings. We're going to add another half an aisle of fittings.
Wow.
And a bunch more tubing. Was it aluminum tubing? We've got chromoly tubing on hand now. Just more and more and more. So,
with that aircraft background, I mean, are you going to be able to maybe handle some more suspension questions and stuff along that line?
Absolutely. Yeah. What intrigues me is kind of the engineering aspect of his background. So, he's a car guy. He builds his own cars at home. Right. So, you know, I knew him. Because he was a customer. That's right.
Exactly.
So the customer became friend, became, you know.
Well, if they hung out long enough, you know, you probably just put them on the payroll, right?
Oh, well, no. I pay everybody what I get paid. So, you know.
Well, that's what I meant. Right, I mean, it starts with you.
We'll work for car parts.
Exactly.
Yes, and, absolutely.
Which always makes me laugh that you and Robert are always, you know, trading parts and, you know, different mm-hmm. things. You just kind of keep this going. But it's really hard to go almost anywhere and not see a Yearwood Performance, you know, sticker on somebody's car or, you know, and that's just, I think, a testament to how you keep your prices fair.
Your
business model is solid. And I don't think people understand the added value they get from that and be able to go in and be treated honestly and fairly. I mean, heck, they can ring you up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and as a matter of fact, I mean, you might get distracted and be on their project until it's done. So
right, that I was talking to Dennis about it this morning. That it's really cool. We get to help build everybody's cars.
That's right.
That's kind of cool.
That's very, very cool. Hey Jim, thank you. We'll shoot out tomorrow, 12 to 5, or 4. I'm not sure. Don't wait till 4.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it's 4. So.
And at the Concours de Soleil, so that's in the North Valley. If you need to find out how to get there, just send me an email at nm motorsportsreport@gmail.com, and I'll send you all the information. But thank you for coming out this morning.
Absolutely, and we'll see you there tomorrow.
Awesome. Absolutely. All right, we've got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to talk about the sale of Formula One. Coming up next with Tom McKeon, producer with Mike and Mike on ESPN. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team with David Swope, the fastest radio host in the West.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Your Wood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right. Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7. So if you got, like, you know, $8.5 billion just burning a hole in your company, you could always, you know, agree to buy something like Formula One. So joining the show this morning is Tom McKeon, as producer with Mike and Mike on ESPN. How you doing this morning, Tom?
Hey, David, I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And so I love the fact that you kind of come on and slum it with us, right? You know, I mean, you get to hang out during the week with Mike and Mike, you know, and all the celebs and everything that's going on there. But when it comes down to it, true passion is Formula One. And so what an interesting development with Liberty Media agreeing to buy Formula One. What's your thoughts on that?
I think short-term it won't be a big difference. Long-term it could be, though. Liberty Media is a company that's already in the sports world, owned the Atlanta Braves, seem to know this whole aspect of their business well. So that's an encouraging sign. When you read the press release and you see that, you know, Bernie's sticking around for a while,
right,
you kind of get suspicious of how long is he going to be still in control, how long is he going to be running the show. It seems like in the short term, he's certainly going to be still doing that. So I don't know how much change we'll see immediately. But for the long term, that could be great. I mean, there's talks of maybe this could lead to more races in North America. And
right,
as a spoiled F1 fan, I would love that.
Absolutely. We got some great tracks. I mean, up in your neck of the woods, I mean, Watkins Glen. I mean, it's got such a, you know, a Formula One history anyway. Canadian tracks. I mean, there's plenty of venues, great venues. Heck, they come out, you know, of course, to a Laguna Seca. I mean, you know, it'd be fantastic to see them out there. But you're right, you know, because at first I thought, oh man, this is just a shell game. If Bernie Ecclestone's going to stay there, but then I also thought, you know, he's been there for so long, he's so entrenched that maybe it makes more sense to keep your friends closer and your enemies closer. That maybe it makes sense to, you know, kind of stay there. You just get down to all his contacts, get through, and make sure that, you know, everything is solidified. Because you don't want to coup. You don't want to, like, you know, push him out and everything, and then you know, get a little unstable, and then there's a coup, and he comes back in and takes back over and reaps, you know, gets all the money again. So in a way, I think it's you gotta keep him close until you make that complete transition.
Yeah, it certainly seems to make sense to. If you don't have to do an immediate overhaul, then don't, or a drastic change in ownership. So hopefully this is kind of a more steady transition. We'll have to see, but I'm not sure where it's headed, but I think it's going to be headed in a good place. I think this was really good news for F1.
Well, and I think that on some levels, F1's doing pretty decently. I mean, you got a good battle, a 2-point, you know, difference between Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton. And of course, the drama between those two guys and how they can't really stand each other is pretty interesting. Sebastian Vettel has now kind of pulled himself back up to a fourth in points, got a short, you know, a shot to actually finish the season in third. Daniel Ricciardo, you know, I mean, he's done a tremendous job, but a lot of good storylines. And of course, you know, heading into Singapore, you know, last year just kind of, you know, really shook everything up. What are your thoughts? You know, I mean, one, Singapore, and two, kind of down the stretch with the season.
You talk about the great product on the track. Here's the bad news. Mercedes has won 13 of 14 races this year, but you would never really know it from a lot of these practices, especially in Singapore. Red Bull is fastest in first practice, and I know Mercedes is on the pole, but Ricciardo's in second. He split the Mercedes, and this is a track where Mercedes didn't finish on the podium last year. How often can you say that? Should be a really exciting race. 2 hours, the longest race of the year. It's super hot there. It's so demanding on the street circuit for these drivers. So this is one where there could be a shakeup where I could see Red Bull winning. We'll have to see. It's going to be pretty exciting. Vettel's got a lot of work cut out for him. His car had some front-end problems. He's going to be starting at the back of the grid. But we saw last year with Max Verstappen, our man Max, he stalled on the grid, still made it back to eighth when the checkered flag flew. So a little bit of passing on the track, a little bit of good strategy can get you pretty close to the front. I'm not going to say Vettel's going to finish on the podium, but I think he can make up enough ground where he can have a pretty good finish.
I mean, what is going on with Ferrari? I mean, you know, I mean, it's almost now a Red Bull Mercedes conversation, and Ferrari kind of seems to be an afterthought.
Yeah, Ferrari's on its back heel for sure. They looked like the second best team in the first half of the season, but that has not been the case. Almost ever since Verstappen switched teams, we've kind of seen that transition. Red Bull's really looked like the clear second best team, and I know Ferrari kind of outshadowed them at Monza, but overall for the second half of the year, Red Bull has looked like that number two and looked like that team that has the best chance to challenge Mercedes at any given weekend.
Well, who would have ever thought that we'd have a conversation about Force India challenging for a constructor's points Ferrari? I mean, that almost seems, you know, like you couldn't have that conversation.
No, and I mean, expectations in the beginning of the year, who knows what those were. Force India had been it's mid-pack team trying to be on the high end of the mid-pack, like pecking order, which is impressive considering the resources. Now, we would love to see more of a balance. I mean, the payouts are ridiculous at the end of the year, depending on where you finish.
Right.
You could go a whole season and potentially get no payout if you're on the back end. It's just how do you battle out of that? Like, Manor's been named a couple different teams over the years, but they've still been on the grid since 2010, and they've scratched out like 2 points in their entire career. Now, they are looking a lot better now. They're kind of at the back end of the mid-pack, but it's been such a gradual rise for them, poured so much money into the sport. It's just not really, it just doesn't seem like a good business model for F1 to have these entrants struggle for so many years. And even Haas did it probably the right way with partnering with Ferrari and getting a lot of their technical support from other areas. But even we've seen them, after the first couple races, really kind of struggle to find a balance with their brakes, an agreement with their tires, because they don't have the data. And they're competing against teams that spend $300, $400 million a year.
Well, I did have to chuckle a little bit because I can see Bernie Ecclestone going, I don't care. You know, I mean, because this is a perfect example where he doesn't get it. You know, I mean, what's good for the whole, you know, all the different teams? I mean, because nobody wants to tune in and watch 10 cars race. I mean, you know, and basically, I mean, that's what's happening. It's 10 and everybody else. I did have to chuckle a little bit. I mean, you know, some of it's Perez, some of it's the team has just, you know, really stepped up. But before we run out of time, I did want to talk about Haas. I mean, you know, kind of an up and down season, but really, I mean, something to be proud of for their first season in Formula One.
Something to be immensely proud of. If you had told me at this point they had 28 points, they were ahead of three teams in the Constructors' Championships, no doubt about it. And they made Q3 in qualifying at Monza for the first time. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you had asked me before the season if that would have happened, I would have definitely guessed no. I would have thought they would be competing with Manor at the back end, but Manor surprised me as well. So it's a really good story. It's just, you just don't want to see that sophomore slump. So how do, and And what's really interesting about all of this is the changes for 2017. I mean, I just saw, you know, we also saw the pictures of the new tires for next year.
Right.
And now, like, the back tires of the current car are now, like, the width of the front tires of the new car. Like, they are going to look really cool. There's going to be so many aero changes, so many design changes. It could really mix up the grid. And we've seen teams already state that as early as, like, last January, they were already working on this 2017 car. And Haas brings updates to Singapore. It's going to be their last updates of the year. So they can really focus now fully on 2017. If you get this right, you can be in a great position for years to come. Because look at in 2009, when Braun GP took over for Honda at the last second, Honda had gotten that car ready for the year. They nailed the rear diffuser. They were so much faster than anyone. And they got a complete jump on the championship and ended up winning it. The offseason can definitely win you positions.
Wow. Well, I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, either way, at least it's, they're moving forward and they're trying. I mean, it's fantastic. I got to ask you real briefly. I mean, what's it like to work with Mike and be a part of the big mothership there?
It's great. I had been a researcher on the show many years ago. So when I got switched over to a segment producer in February, I came back and introduced myself and said, "Oh, they remembered me," which is a great start.
Exactly.
It's really as to why they remembered me, I don't know. Hopefully, good. But it's been a lot of fun. It's really early in the morning,
right?
Really with a group of people that are close. So you have to have fun at this time at that time in the morning.
Yeah, I guess there's nothing less other than caffeine. But hey, Tom, really appreciate you sticking with us with our Formula One reports, and really love having you on the show.
Anytime, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, that was Tom McKeon. He's one of the producers for Mike and Mike, which you hear every week Monday through Friday, 6:00 to 10:00 here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Hey, we're gonna get back to talking some more NASCAR. On the other side, including we're going to start taking some more predictions on who the final four is going to be in the race for the chase. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope. ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Your Wood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Quick programming note, on deck, FM Sports Saturday coming up at 9 a.m. 10 a.m., you got the team high school show with Gary Heron. 11 a.m., the legend with the Henry T. Show. 1:30, we're going to go to Colorado versus Michigan. 5 p.m., we're going to have Ohio State. Easy for me to say. Ohio State versus Oklahoma. Sunday, 10 a.m., 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., you got the Caliber Sportsman Show. 11 a.m., Cowboys versus Redskins. 2:30, Falcons versus Raiders. 6 p.m., Yankees versus Red Sox. Don't forget to go to the 1017theteam.com and register for the free sports app. You have a chance to win a chance to go to a Cowboys game. Everything included, the trip and everything to the Cowboys game. Game of your choice in either November or December. But you got to go on and you got to register. 1017theteam.com and look for the sports app. If you want to find out all the cool stuff that's going on around the state, New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides, with full monthly color features such as a business spotlight, reader fever, and a complete listing of all the New Mexico car clubs. Pick up a copy at any Napa store, Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Belen, and Socorro. A lot of great columns in there, and pick it up and find out why New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine has been a local favorite for over 6 years, and I think they're right at their anniversary, so you might be looking at 7. Enzo Racing Museum event calendar today, the regular season finale at Chicagoland for Xfinity, Sprint Cup, round one of the Sprint Cup race for the chase is tomorrow at Chicagoland, NBC Sports Network at 12:30. Just after high noon. IndyCar season finale, double points race, Grand Prix of Sonoma, NBC Sports Network. Tomorrow, Singapore Grand Prix on the street course. NHRA going on this weekend, round one at the Carolina Nationals near Charlotte, North Carolina. ABQ Dragway next Saturday, Mopar versus the World. Gates open at 9. Sunday, the September Showdown. Gates also opening at 9 on that. You want to see some local racing today? The Rattlesnake Rally with non-wing sprints, sprints, A-mods, and street stocks out at Sandia Motor Speedway. Racing starts at 6:30. A little motocross, Moriarty motocross practice today, and the Moriarty MX Series Round 4 is tomorrow. Car shows, of course, next Saturday. The Pulling for Kids, you want to go check that out. David Dominguez did a great story on that earlier today. And then, of course, mark your calendar, 4th annual Brunch Balloons and Badass Cars over at the Barley Room. That's October the 8th. If you missed any New Mexico Motorsports Report, you can check it out at nmmotorsportsreport.com or on demand or the blog at 1017theteam.com. Like us on Facebook at the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Follow us on Twitter, NMM Report. That's the Unser Racing Museum event calendar. 1776 Montano, open daily 10 to 4. Don't forget, Napa still got their raffle going on for that Corvette. So stop in one of your local Napa stores and get all the information there. All right, going to our racing expert for NASCAR with theracingexperts.com is Dominic Aragon. How you doing this morning, Dom?
Hey, David, doing really good. Good to be back on the New Mexico Motorsports Report.
Well, it's always fun, and I can't believe we're down to 10 races now. I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but now we're at the sprint part of it. First off, I got a comment. Kyle Busch, I mean, went in the truck race last night. He's really starting to annoy me. And I don't know if that is because there was some guys that were working hard. Spencer Gallagher, was really working hard, and then of course, you know, they had a problem in the pits, which is, you know, a speeding in the pits, and that's on them. But a lot of guys, you know, that was their only chance. They were going to make a Cole Custer. I mean, the way he got driven into the wall, a couple of weeks ago up at Watkins Glen. I mean, it's just I'm just tired of the whole Kyle Busch thing. Okay, I got that off my chest. So let's talk about the chase. We basically had Darrell Waltrip on earlier that says his final four is Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, and then of course Jimmy Johnson. Come on. Do you think Jimmy Johnson, one of the Hendrick cars, can actually make it to the Final Four?
Well, you bring up Jimmy Johnson, and I think there's a valid point there, too. According to some research we've been doing earlier this week, well, it sounds like Jimmy Johnson currently has one of the most, I think, insurmountable streaks ever in NASCAR history, and that is every year that he has run full-time in the Sprint Cup Series, he is placed inside the top 10 each season at least 20 times.
Wow.
Well, with 10 races left in 2016, Johnson sits with 10 top 10 finishes in the first 26 races. So it means he has to finish top 10 in the next 10 races to keep that streak going. And I just think it's such a fascinating streak because Lee Petty did it 9 times, where he had 9 consecutive seasons of 20 top 10 finishes. Jeff Gordon did it 11 times, but Jimmy Johnson's done it 14 times. So this might be a streak that never gets touched again. Kind of like Richard Petty's 200 wins. Jimmy Johnson's 14 straight seasons of 20 top 10s more. But that could all come to an end if he finishes outside the top 10 in any of the next 10 races. So just a little fascinating streak there with the numbers with Jimmy Johnson.
Well, and if you think about, you know, the 16 cars that start the chase, 5 of them are basically, you know, the same team. You know, Penske has quietly walked into this thing. Joey Logano has not seemed to have recovered from last year's chase incident. Not sure really what's going on there. He's been smiling a lot, which, you know, I'm not sure it's going to get him a victory or anything. But I think it's going to be very interesting. At this point, who is your final four?
Ooh, that's a very good question. If I had to predict at this point in the game, you really can't pick against the Toyota camp.
Right.
And like how you said, there's technically five cars there with Joe Gibbs Racing. You have Martin Truex Jr. Gibbs Racing has a big hand in the preparation there with the 78 team. Would not surprise me to see a Joe Gibbs Final Four or to see Martin Truex there in the mix, and if one of the Gibbs guys gets the short end of the stick there. But you even look at the Team Chevy guys or the Ford Performance guys. Hendrick Motorsports is riding one of their longest losing streaks in team history. Johnson with only two wins, and I say only two wins because this is a team we're used to seeing win about 8 to 10 times a year. So you throw that into the mix. You throw, like you said, Penske. Logano's only won a couple times this year compared to how he had won 7 times in 2015. Now, Keselowski's won 4 times, but you just look at the Toyota camp. The Toyota camp has been strong at all different types of venues, at least to this point in the season, and they have approximately a 1-race advantage over Team Chevrolet in the manufacturer standings. This could also be the first time since 2002 that Chevrolet does not win the manufacturer's title.
Okay, so we got a minute 30. Who are your final four?
Okay. All right. Yeah, like how I danced around there, right?
Well, yeah, well, yeah.
I'll go Kenseth, Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch.
Wow. Okay. So you're gonna get three. You're gonna get three in there.
All right. Well, who's yours?
I'm sorry.
Who's going to be your final four there?
Oh, who's going to be my final four? I've been picking Hamlin since 2010. So, but I'm going to get Hamlin. I'm going to have Harvick in there as well. What's funny is I can't really pick a Canassi. Penske. I mean, I'm going to have to stick Kyle Busch, but I cursed Kyle Busch because I picked him last year, so it was on there. And unfortunately, I think that Kyle Busch is going to be in that Final Four. I think when it comes down to it, I think actually Kevin Harvick is going to sneak in and win it. Kevin Harvick is my pick to win this whole thing, and he's going to do it a little differently than he's done it in the past. But as long as he gets to the Kevin Harvick Invitational, he's guaranteed himself a spot into the finale.
Oh, absolutely. You look at his performance in this chase format since it was implemented in 14. He's the only driver to make the Final Four twice. And he led laps at Homestead last year, could have been a back-to-back champion and won the race.
Awesome. Hey, Dominic, thank you very, very much for joining the show. That brings us to an end of another New Mexico Motorsports Report. Tune in next Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll have a bunch of other stories going on for you. But if you want to engage more with the show, just go to nmmotorsportsreport.com and you can send us a message right there if it's something you want to see. Appreciate you tuning in. Talk to you next Saturday on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
You are listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Join us again next week where your host David Swope will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.